The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you with us. Second half of the show, Jimbo Fisher joining us during the first half, Pete Thamel, and more of your phone calls. Greg McElroy in a few minutes. We'll get his take on the game, the mini games, and I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon, Paul Feinbaum.
Hey there.
You know, I quit betting on football games back during the 9-game Alabama run over Auburn. But I'm winning it all back today. In laughter, I'm talking about. And you know why I called? I didn't call to talk about Alabama. I called so Jeff from Columbus would know how to act when your team gets beat. You pick up the phone and you call in, Jeff. I mean, it's that simple. My team put on one hell of a performance outside of a couple plays, and here I am. And legend calling for everybody to be fired except for the head man, the guy that hired everybody. You gotta love it. And you know what's most funny about today and over the weekend? The Bama fans have spent 10 years telling everybody else what they should do. What they should do. This is how you ought to do it. This is what you need. This is what you should do. You let the, and everything is eating their lunch right now. I'm talking about worse than Opie having to give that kid on the corner his nickel every morning. I mean, they are laughing at them because everybody else has stepped their game up. And in reference to the 2007 season, it was one of the most competitive seasons in the history of the game. And that's what we are seeing right now, ladies and gentlemen. It ain't, and I keep hearing this term, elite teams, and they always have Oklahoma, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson behind them. Those are not elite teams. They are good teams, and everybody else is right there shoulder. Ooh, Paul Feinbaum, if we was in the elevator, shoulder to shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. War Dan Meagle, have a good day.
Jamie is up next. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, bud?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I think you might should check the credentials of a lot of these Alabama fans that's calling in. I believe they might actually be Auburn fans trying to make us look bad. But anyway, I like to give my opinion on this weekend's game with Alabama and Florida. Florida, the last 3 minutes of the game, if you would have noticed, they played more of a defense instead of an aggressive offense. They should have kicked onside field goal, onside kick instead of field goal, and not played Alabama, to not expect Alabama to get a first down. You know, that's back on Coach Mullins. And for Pete to say that Coach Mullins is the best coach in the country, play caller, I don't see it, man. I mean, Lane Kiffin is by far the best, if you ask me. But that's just my opinion on that. And I just don't see I don't see Cincinnati. Pete said he's talking about how good Cincinnati's doing this year. I'm not a betting man. I don't bet on ball games. But if you take Cincinnati and they somehow or another find a way to play Alabama this year in the playoffs, I would take Alabama minus 50 and let Paul Tyson play two quarters. That's just my opinion.
Jamie, the thing with Cincinnati is – They play Notre Dame next week, and if they win that game, they're going to get gobs of attention, which will help them move up the polls. But right now, Cincinnati had a good shot last year. Georgia didn't take advantage of it, and that was a good Georgia team, but not really an elite Georgia team. Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Listen, I think somebody told that gator that you did not taste like chicken. I want to talk about Alabama, but first, Georgia's got home field advantage in Nashville this Saturday to get them ready for Arkansas the next week between the hedges. That's going to be a good football game. I think TBS may pick that up, depending on who else is playing. But Alabama survived the crucible of the swamp. Florida lost. Alabama won. Okay? Pete Thamel had some good ideas. There's a lot of moving parts this season, okay? Super seniors, sold out capacity at all home games for most of the teams. That's probably going to provide a modicum of parity around the league. And Nick Saban has got so many teachable moments this week in practice. I feel sorry for whoever they're going to play this week. Who are they going to play?
Oh, they're playing Southern Miss, and I think you make a good point. But ultimately, by the way, there are a lot of big games next week in other than Georgia, Arkansas. I mean, there's an endless stream. You have Auburn at LSU, Alabama hosting Ole Miss. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Keith is up next in Texas. So, hello, Keith.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this afternoon?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, don't even start. I'm not a Bama fan or a Florida fan, but I have been a longtime listener back to your radio days.
Thank you.
And it seems like the same show every year when Florida has a big game. All their callers pack in the week before the game, and they're the greatest. And Steve Spurrier kissed my baby, and Urban Meyer went to dinner with me, and we're going to beat everybody. And then they lose. And then they all call back in wanting all of this pat on the head and respect for how great they played and how good they really are. You know, at the end of the day, you lost. You know, suck it up, man up, say we got beat, and stop asking for this participation trophy from the head of the YMCA. I don't know when we've gotten to a level as SEC fans that, you know, losing is okay. We should be, rewarded about how great we are because we lost.
Keith, I hear you loud and clear. I think a lot of it is just when you measure it against expectations, and really we've never had anything quite like Alabama, so we expect, rightly or wrongly, to see Alabama dominate. And somebody mentioned the betting line earlier, that the betting line is the betting public, but the whole purpose of the betting line is to get an even amount of money on both sides. So that's how the betting public ended the week, with Florida 2-touchdown favorite. It doesn't mean Florida is 2 touchdowns inferior to Alabama, but I just think we always give Alabama too much credit. And I think objectively, and I'm not even sure I can say I looked at it that way, even being down there, we just expect Alabama to do exactly what they did at the beginning of the game, get up 21-3, 24-10 at half, 35-17, and, you know, maybe Florida sneaks a quick touchdown in later, not to beat the spread or not. But, you know, seeing Alabama in the final seconds of the game in danger of losing is not something many of us have seen very often in recent years.
Yeah, but, you know, you go back to sometimes in the playoffs, you know, Clemson played them close.
Oh, sure, Georgia, absolutely. I mean, close. They've lost.
Lots of teams that almost won.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, Nick Saban found a way to win.
Sure. Well,
and
there's
your
a
team
reason.
Lost. And you got to just, you know, accept that and stop looking for accolades because you lost. Your program will never get better if you're going to feel
good
about it.
Well, but, you know, Keith, it's one thing if you're Ole Miss and you play a close game. But I, frankly, have been around long enough to think Florida is on the same level as Alabama.
Well.
So, I think it's worse when you get a school like Florida. And, by the way, I'm not saying they are asking for it. That's just the reaction that some of the callers have had. Well, someone that knows a little bit about all this is our next guest. He is Greg McElroy. We'll get his take from deep in the heart of Alabama coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Greg, one thing that I do want to ask you about to start, and a caller brought this up about Bill O'Brien, you know, milking the clock significantly versus running tempo versus running a lot faster. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I just wanted to make sure, per the caller, that you could address that to start.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not going to use a ton of tempo right now. I mean, their defense was on their heels some a little bit too, and a three and out would have put that defense back on the field. And that was a defense at that point really wasn't playing very well, Paul. So while tempo and balancing tempo and all that stuff is has been a huge part of what they've been offensively over the course of time, it's kind of an indicator based on, you know, what the defense needs, what the offense might need to get going, and that would be Nick Saban's call, actually, probably more so even than Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien would ask Coach, say, hey, Coach, we want to speed it up a touch, and Coach would say yes or no based on what he felt like was best for the team at that moment. So usually when you don't run tempo, you wish you did, and when you do run tempo, you wish you didn't. It's amazing how that works.
And you also wish when you start a game out that you're going to get something moving on the ground. I think everyone wants to know what went haywire there, or is this just an indicator of this different Alabama team?
Well, I think when you look at how Florida was able to create some problems in the backfield, I mean, Florida did basically something that Miami did, except Miami did it the last quarter and a half. Florida decided to do it the whole game. And when you watch Florida at the snap, they were moving. They were bringing pressures. They were adjusting. They were not necessarily staying in a stationary position. And at Miami, if you look at, and I don't want to, you know, talk about the Mercer game. Frankly, it doesn't hold a lot of weight in this conversation. But Miami actually had a lot more success in the back end of that game because they did some of that movement stuff. If you just want to line up and run against Alabama, you're going to have a hard time. I mean, they're very, very strong, they're very athletic, and they're going to get you pushed back along the line of scrimmage. But if you're moving, it's a lot harder to hit a moving target. I didn't think Bama played very well in that regard up front, given their talent level. I thought Florida had a beautiful plan defensively to change things up. And unfortunately for Florida, they got off to a really bad start, and Alabama was able to take advantage of the short field and to get out of the gates really strong. But man, after that first quarter, after they weathered the storm, they were really able to hang in there, and that'll be something that Dan Mullen probably points to. Man, if you get off to a better start, the outcome could very well have been very different. So a lot of Bama fans freaking out right now, understandably so. They're not used to seeing a performance like that, but that was just a beautiful performance from an excellent staff. Both offensively and defensively, they're in the swamp for Dan Mullen, Todd Grantham, and everybody involved.
Well, let's get your assessment of the Alabama defense, which is, I'm sure, a topic this morning on your show, and it has been one everywhere in the state of Alabama today.
Yeah, I'm a little tired of having to answer the question, fire Golding. It's ridiculous. And if you look at the plan, I mean, this had nothing to do with, and there were a lot of times that Alabama players were in the right position to make a play and just didn't. Their best player defensively, Christian Harris, or at least one of their best players defensively, I thought he had a really disappointing performance. I thought Henry To'o played really subpar based on what we've come to expect from the second-level defenders. I thought the defensive line improvised far too often for my comfort level, and that's not coaching. That's players' execution. The call, in some ways, was perfect. And just wasn't executed properly. You saw oftentimes Alabama players running into each other. They were a mess in a lot of ways. And it wasn't something that I'm really a whole lot, that I'm really used to. But you also have to give credit to the offense. I saw on the first possession of the game, or at least one of the first possessions of the game, I saw Christian Harris had to cover a whip route by a wide receiver. He had to react to a counter. He had to get wide on a speed option. He had about six or seven different looks and different formations to react to in a period of eight or nine plays. They went right after Alabama's strength, and they said, we're going to get you thinking, and if you're thinking, you'll play slow. And that's exactly what they did at the second level. So I would say that, hey, you can blame the coaches. You can want to fire everybody in the building. But ultimately, it's about the players. And the players, their performance on Saturday left an awful lot to be desired.
Usually, Greg, you win at one of the toughest places in the country, and you look forward to getting back and walking into practice. You've been at these practices under Nick Saban when he was not happy. What do you think is going on there right now?
I think Nick Saban was happy, believe it or not. I know he was disappointed, obviously, with the performance, but I think this team, in a lot of ways, needed a slice of humble pie. And if you listen to some of the comments that he made in the week leading up to Mercer, if you listen to some of the comments he made throughout the course of fall camp, this is a team that was extremely confident. And now they realize, hey, if we don't do this, if we don't do that, we can lose. And that was never more evident than what happened this past weekend. And I think this was their toughest test in the regular season. We talked about this last week, Paul. I thought this would be a ridiculously difficult hurdle to get over in the regular season. Now, I still know that Ole Miss is excellent. I know A&M will be a challenge. I know there are different spots along the rest of the season that will be challenging. But I thought this would be the most difficult road environment that they'll play in. So I think Alabama is in a position where, hey, you play about your B game, and you still get a win on the road against a top 15, top 10 team, I think you should feel pretty good about that. A lot of teachable moments, and I think a little humility, but at the same time, I think Nick Saban probably went to practice today awfully thrilled that they had so much to work on.
Talking to Greg McElroy, let's finish this by talking about Bryce Young. And you know, I know we gave him the Heisman Trophy winner, the Heisman Trophy a couple weeks ago. We might ask if he could give it back at least for a few more weeks. But what was your final assessment of his performance?
I thought he played pretty well, Paul. I've been just thoroughly impressed with him up to this point. Now, was it a flawless performance? I would say it wasn't. There are still a few things that I'd like to see from him. A lot of people, Paul, have pointed to the fact that when he leaves the pocket, he should and or can run, but he doesn't. And that, I think, has frustrated some. But I appreciate, actually, how he's approaching the game because there are a lot of uncertainties behind him. So if he runs the football, he exposes himself to potential risk. And with all due respect to the backup quarterback situation at Alabama, I don't think either Milroe or Paul Tyson at this point could lead Alabama to a national championship. So I think he's being cautious. I think he also understands, and I think it's a nice thing for a young player, he understands just how big plays can happen when you escape the pocket and remain in a passing posture. So I know people are wanting him to run. I know people are wanting him to take chances, use his athleticism. But I think be careful what you wish for there, because he's not a big guy, and it's not a guy that I want to run into harm's way knowing what's currently behind him. So I think he's played beautifully. I thought he did a nice job on Saturday. I didn't think that he got an A++ grade, but I would give him in his first road start, barring everything that he had to take into account, I would say it was pretty good. Just a few things needs to clean up, a couple accuracy issues, a couple footwork things. But for the most part, I thought he played really well. And frankly, his receivers could have helped him out, I thought, on a few different occasions as well, Paul. So all things considered, through three games, Bryce Young is who we thought he was.
Greg, Auburn went on the road to Penn State. A lot of people thought they'd win the game. They played well. They lost. But what was your takeaway from that performance moving forward?
Well, I'm with you, Paul. I actually thought Auburn would win the game. I really did. I thought they had an advantage in probably more ways than even where it was really evident. I thought Bo Nix had taken strides. I thought their wide receivers would give them some fits. I thought that they would do a really good job holding things in check with the run game. And then I didn't think, frankly, that Sean Clifford would be able to have the performance that he did. And he did. He played beautifully. Was very accurate with the football, very decisive, got it out on time, gave it to his receivers who could make plays on it, and basically took the offense, put it on his shoulders, said, hey, come with me. And I was really impressed with how he performed. But if we're getting back to the assessment of Auburn, I was proud of him. That was a difficult spot to go play against a team that has a lot of veteran players, and they were up to the task. Now, are there things that they'd like to have back? Sure. I've heard already on WJOX here in Birmingham on shows yesterday as I was traveling back, how can you throw a goal line fade? And I understand the frustration there on fourth down as they were getting ready to potentially tie the game. And I would just tell everybody, man, hey, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, I actually liked the play call. It was poorly executed. They didn't get the mesh or the rub that they were looking for, and everyone will be going back on the all 22, and they'll see Tank Bigsby on a little angle route on the left-hand side that's wide open and say, this is where it should have gone. I understand all that. Ultimately, the call wasn't what I had a problem with. It was the throw. The throw landed 3 yards out of bounds. and you have to at least give the wide receiver a chance when you're in a red zone in a gotta-have-it situation. Even if it's intercepted, who cares? It's a fourth down play. And to throw it out of bounds is like throwing a Hail Mary out of bounds. It's absolutely inexcusable. So back to the original point, how did Auburn look? I thought there was a lot to be proud of. I thought Bo Nix did some good things, but there were also a lot of things I'd like to correct, especially on throws downfield. And I would like to see them can really commit to getting the ball to Tank Bigsby more than they did even on Saturday. I know he had 23 carries. Any game that he has less than 30, I think, is a mistake. So I think that there's some things that they'll learn from this, but for all intents and purposes, I thought it was a pretty solid performance on the road against a team that's slightly better than them at this point.
Finally, because Auburn's schedule is brutal, Greg, for a measuring stick for those of us at home, where would Penn State rank right now in your estimation in the SEC?
I love that you're asking me this question. I love you, Paul, and I know what you're doing. And I will give you an answer that you desire. Right now, I would have Penn State finishing fourth in the SEC West. And that would say, what? They're number six team in the country. Understandably so. And on a neutral site, I would pick Alabama ahead of them. I would pick, at this point, Ole Miss ahead of them. And then I think it would be a toss-up between A&M and Penn State, and on a home field. People say, well, A&M lost their quarterback. Did you see him against Colorado? Yeah, I did. But I also acknowledge the challenge of having to go and play at altitude, and I also know the challenge as a backup quarterback coming off the bench, being thrust into a game plan that's built to feature quarterback run when you're not a runner. And that's exactly what Zach Calzada had to do 2 weeks ago on the road at the Buffaloes. He played better last week. I think there's room for growth. And I think if you look at A&M's roster, A&M's defensive line in particular, and how they are essentially carrying the team right now, I would pick A&M on a neutral site against Penn State. So in a long way of answering your question very simply, I would have Penn State no better than fourth in the SEC West.
And that's in the SEC West. I've already asked a question. We need to get you out of here, but it's pretty obvious on the SEC East side, there are a couple of pretty good teams as well.
I would have them third in the SEC East, and I think the game against Florida would be pretty compelling, but I like Florida just a little bit better than the Nittany Lions at this point.
So if they're fourth, I'll go one more. I know you're a Rhodes Scholar, almost one. Fourth in the East and third in the, that's putting them really close to the middle of the SEC. Is that fair? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I think, am I being cross-examined, Paul? I feel like at some point I need to plead the fifth, because I know Nittany Lion Twitter's coming after me as we speak.
You are correct.
I would have them in the middle of the pack right now in the SEC. I still think they have some things they need to clean up on the defensive side. And I do think, however, with how they match up against some of the teams in the Big Ten, they're in a really good position to potentially, with how Ohio State's playing, I wouldn't be shocked to see Penn State in the driver's seat in the Big Ten East. But they need to be careful with Michigan State. Michigan State's a team I saw that is excellent, the best team I've seen so far this year in person. And I've only seen six teams, so it's not like it's that many. But Michigan State's for real. And I think Ohio State and Michigan will get things going in the right direction. Michigan's looked good so far, so it's a wide-open race in the East. But I think Penn State's got a real chance of winning. I just don't like the matchup they would have against some of the elite teams with super elite talent that they would see in the SEC West and East at this point.
Greg McElroy, thank you very much for an extended conversation and some trickery at the end. Appreciate it. We'll take a break. Greg McElroy, you heard him. Fourth in the East, fourth in the West, third in the East. For you Penn State fans, we are.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. Great to have all of you with us. Greg McElroy certainly making a lot of friends in the Big Ten and Happy Valley. Let's get back to the calls. And Brandon is in Mississippi. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. It is a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
I have two questions to ask you. I'm not one of these crazed people. I've never called in before. I don't have social media, and I saw that you said that Kiffin would be a product back at USC because he's mature. Now, lay that to the side, and I'll get your opinion
let me,
on that.
Let me give some context to that statement, and I don't want to act like I'm a virgin when it comes to social media. I do a podcast every Sunday with Matt Berry for ESPN, and we were just rambling, and I said, hey, you know who would be a great choice for Southern Cal? And that's Lane Kiffin. Then I told the story about Lane leaving in 2013 and the small role that I played in the public dissemination of that. And I don't think it will happen. And I don't know if Kiffin would even consider it. But it's just one of those things you throw up in the air on a podcast for fun, and it does get picked up. And the next thing you know, it looks like I'm saying he's going there.
Absolutely, sir. And here's my next question. I am a Mississippian. I mean, I'm not against Mississippi State. The only time I'm against Mississippi State is when they're playing Ole Miss, because my wife works at Ole Miss. My daughter goes to Ole Miss. And that call that they did towards the end of the game with Memphis, the referee put his foot down, threw the beanbag down, and allowed the ball to still be live.
No.
I don't understand why that was a touchstone.
Yeah, it's been explained. It shouldn't have happened. Hey, thank you for the call. And I genuinely felt badly for Mike Leach. We just played his press conference. I would have been happier to see Leach just let it out. I mean, that's what he's good at. That's the kind of thing that's inexcusable, but we made a vow today not to spend the entire show talking about officiating. There'll be more days for that. Donnie is in Arkansas. You're on the air. Hello, Donnie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
And I'm number one, I'm an Arkansas fan, win, lose, or draw.
Yes, sir.
But number two, I'm an SEC fan. So every non-conference game, I'm pulling for whichever SEC school is playing. On conference games, I tend to pull for the ones who have proven to give the SEC the best chance at winning a national championship or doing good and making the SEC look good. So with that said, all the talk about Alabama, naturally when Alabama plays Arkansas, I'm for Arkansas, but with all the talk about Alabama beatable, Alabama this, Alabama that, under what thinking do they get that? Because the last I seen on my TV, Alabama won the game. So to me, until they're beat, they are not beatable. And I haven't seen anybody beat them yet this year.
Well, no, nobody has beaten them. And I think what we're talking about is we think Alabama is impenetrable. So folks start saying, I think they look beatable. That means somebody could get them. They almost went down in the swamp. I thought Greg made a great point about that being, that game never got enough credit for being a hard game to win. And I think that was wrong. And I think, I think Buddy Martin last week, others tried to point out that we as a public just weren't paying enough attention. Now, I will tell you this, by the time I got down there, it felt different in Gainesville than it did sitting here in a studio on Tuesday or Wednesday. But I just think for whatever reason, we looked past the obvious, and we found that out late Saturday afternoon. More to come on the program, including a conversation with Spencer and Richard, the TOL lads. They're up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
An hour and 14 minutes away from thinking out loud. Spencer and Richard joining us. Guys, help us out. We've been getting some really strange calls today from Alabama fans, including one who wants pretty much everyone but Saban fired. Is that normal?
Are they unhappy, Paul? Why would that be? Did they actually get competition? Did you actually have to play a difficult game on the road? How dare they? How dare reality serve you up a plate of what everyone else has to do?
Yeah, I think Alabama's inevitability seems to be sort of the marker of Saban's dynasty. And when you see that inevitability punctured, if only slightly, they won the game.
Like, they won!
If only slightly, it can be a jarring experience. So Alabama fans, we stand with you. We understand. We have empathy for you.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, in the history of SEC football, has any fan base ever been more disappointed to win at Florida than what we saw?
That's, again, all right, Richard has sympathy for you. Me? I don't, okay? Welcome to the real world, all right? You barely beat somebody on the road. That happens to good teams, all right? That happens to normal teams. That's how spoiled you are. You're in the middle of a generationally great run, a dynasty unlike anything I've seen in my lifetime, topping that of Florida State or Nebraska in my lifetime. And you're upset that you had a little bumpy road in the middle of one of the toughest road environments in sports against a team that could potentially be really good. Now, I got zero sympathy for you. Y'all calm down.
I understand that this may be a little bit more of a shock to the system because they, you know, did almost lose, the temerity to almost lose.
To almost lose.
But remember, what does every Nick Saban team do after their tree gets shaken a little bit, whether it's a loss in a bowl game or a miracle loss to Auburn or a loss in the playoff, whatever it is, they come back stronger every single time. Why won't that happen this time?
Okay, I know you guys are busy preparing for your shows. You're not probably paying attention to the real world like this show. And just a minute ago, Greg McElroy was here. He dropped this one on us. He said, I would have Penn State ranked in the middle of the SEC, fourth in the SEC West, third in the SEC East. You guys agree?
I respectfully disagree with my colleague because how many SEC West wins does Penn State have right now? They got one. For me, that's a pretty good resume right now after week three of the college football season. Additionally, can't we, especially as SEC fans, faithful to the real game, okay, defense, special teams, and the run game, can't we respect a team that plays close games? That's what Penn State did, okay? Like, what's not to like? Rollicking home atmosphere, people who really only live and die for football, and on top of all that, they play kind of ugly games. Like, I mean, Auburn should love that. Like, traditionally, Auburn football is, you know, blood, guts, and the run game. And Penn State's fine with that. So fourth seems a little harsh to me. I think they'd do better than that.
Just because Alabama may, and I must stress, may be coming back a little bit closer to the pack, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that the rest of the pack gets better. Like, this isn't a rising tide or a lowering tide lifts right. the other boat situation. Like, that's not what's happening here. So, no, I would not put Penn State fourth. I would put Penn State second in the SEC West. Again, as my colleague has said, they do have an SEC West win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is even possible. I mean, I'm hearing Schadenfreude from you guys about a team that won a game. That may be the first time I've ever heard that. Anyway, guys, we'll be watching in an hour. Thanks so much for being here. Always good to talk to Richard and Spencer. Even if they pretty much insult the entire Feinbaum audience. Let's go to Joe right now from Red Bay. Joe, did you? I don't know if you heard those guys. I mean, they kind of dissing Alabama fans right now. What's going on here?
Paul Feinbaum, thank you for taking my call, but man, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're – the bottom line is Alabama went to Florida, we played one quarter of football and took the rest of the day off. I mean, how many teams can do this, Paul? We
Nobody
took
else.
The rest of the day off. I mean, how many football teams can do this? In Penn State, they're definitely above Auburn, but Auburn, you know, they're probably last place, and they struggle with them.
So you're not like Legend, who wants to see the defensive coordinator ousted, the offensive coordinator beaten to a pulp for his play calling. You're feeling good about this win. I mean, you did brag about how Arkansas would be the toughest game. You laughed at Florida, if I remember correctly.
I did, and hey, Florida was a joke. I mean, we went down there and smashed mouth them, and, you know, like I said, we played a quarter and took the rest of the off.
This may, don't take this the wrong way, but did you see the game?
I did, Paul, but how many games do you think you're going to win when the other team
Joe, give me a chat. Give me a second here. I want to go through the schedule for the Gators with you, okay? We went through the schedule with Alabama. Okay, Tennessee comes up this weekend, win or loss?
I think Tennessee going to whoop them, Paul. Okay. I think Tennessee is going to hand it to them.
At Kentucky the following week. That is a tough game.
That's a loss. Okay, Kentucky's going to whoop them.
Okay, Vanderbilt at home.
Okay.
Next week, at LSU.
Lost.
Georgia in
LSU
Jacksonville.
Just seems too good.
Georgia.
Florida's going to win that one.
Florida's going to beat Georgia.
Florida's going to win that game.
Okay.
They're going to whoop Georgia.
Okay. Obviously, you hate Georgia more than Florida. At South Carolina.
They'll win that one.
Stanford, okay. At Missouri.
That's a loss.
Okay, and Florida State, I'm going to give that Florida State's. So I'm counting 1-7. You have the Gators going 7-5 by my math.
Well, that's not bad in the SEC, Paul. I mean, if you're not Alabama, that ain't bad.
But, I mean, this is a team that had a chance to beat Alabama at the end of the game.
Well, they should have got autographs. I mean, because, like I said, I mean, we gave them one quarter. We took the rest of the day off. I mean, it wasn't even close, Paul. It wasn't even nowhere near close as that score show. It wasn't.
So you weren't holding your breath when Florida had one last shot to win the game, right?
No, I was sitting here, I popped the top, and I was laughing at them. I was laughing at them, Paul. I mean, it's like they really think they're going to win this game. I was laughing at them. They can't get a field goal, and they can't get a two-point conversion, either one.
But they just missed an extra point, not a field goal.
Well, I mean, they missed an extra point. Who misses the extra point? I mean – that's Raheem at Alabama. That kicker, we got a real record, and that's why that kicker ain't at Alabama. I mean, we know how to make sure we got a kicker now. You know Alabama's fast with a kicker. We got one that can hit it. But not only could they not get an extra, the extra point kicking, they can't even get a two-point conversion on us. I mean, we were just playing with Florida.